Again, we're very glad to have you here with us on the Gospel of Grace this morning. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 32. Here we find Moses has been on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. The children of Israel have not seen their leader. They haven't seen Moses in more than 5 weeks now. And without Moses' steady hand of leadership, they begin to seek other gods. Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as this man Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. So we don't know what happened to Moses. Now we need somebody else to draw our attention to. Then in verse 2, Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which are in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So Aaron takes the gold that was given to him by the Israelites and puts it into the fire. And you'll notice in verse 4, he took a graving tool and he fashioned it. He crafted it. He sculpted it into the form of a calf. And that'll become significant here in just a little bit. Now, as we skip over the rest of this chapter, God is certainly aware of this idolatry that Israel is now engaging in. And he's ready to just wipe the slate clean. Just wipe them out and start over with Moses, but Moses intercedes with God and reminds him of his faithfulness and his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So God does not fully mete out his wrath upon his people because of their sin here of idolatry. Moses then makes his way down from the mount. He sees all of the sinful activity that they're engaging in. As Joshua says, it sounds like the noise of war is in the camp. And he sees them dancing around. We find out later that they're all naked. And they're dancing around this camp and worshiping this graven image, and Moses' anger was waxed hot. And then Moses cast down the Ten Commandments that had been written on the stone, the tablets, by the finger of God. So then Moses makes his way to Aaron, and he says in Exodus 32 and verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Moses asked his brother Aaron, Man, what happened to you while I was gone? What did these people do to you to entice you so they would engage in this sin of idolatry? And then, of course, Aaron wants to blame the people. Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Moses, you know how mischievous these guys are, and it's all their fault. They brought this before me, and they wanted to do this, and I was just trying to appease the people, but it's really their fault, Moses. Aaron continues on, They said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us, for as this man Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Now, verse 24 is what we want to consider. And I said unto them, so Aaron said unto the people, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. So first of all, Aaron tries to blame the people. It's their fault. They're the ones that came up with this plan. And then to try to absolve himself of responsibility, he says, Look, Moses, I just gathered up all the gold, I threw it in the fire, and then out came this calf. So I just gathered up the materials, I put it in the middle of the fire, and then somehow, in the midst of that gold melting down in the middle of that fire, just poof, randomly, this calf came out of the fire. Well, I'll give Aaron an E for effort and a C for creativity in trying to come up with this story. But it's very obvious by Moses that the gold did not just form itself into the form of a calf. And scripture tells us earlier in the chapter, you may remember from verse 4, that Aaron took that gold and he fashioned it with a graving tool. So Aaron did craft this calf, but he tries to cloak his responsibility by saying that, I don't really know how this calf got formed. Yeah, I did take the gold. Yeah, I did put it in the fire. But then, just out of nowhere, this calf just showed up out of the fire. Now, you know that Moses didn't buy that for a minute. It was obvious from the form of that graven image, it was clearly distinguishable as a calf. That means that it had four legs, it had hooves, it had distinctive facial and body features where you could clearly tell that it was a calf. And nobody in their right mind would look at a sculpture, at a graven image that looks like a calf and believe a story that says, I just threw a bunch of gold in the middle of a pot and then poof, out of nowhere, this calf just appeared. No, it was very obvious that because of the craftsmanship and the skill and the detail that went into crafting this molten calf, that there was an intelligent creator, an intelligent design that went into the forming of this calf. Now, what we want to consider today is the fact that this world and everything that we see around us was formed by intelligent design. It is obvious through the craftsmanship and through the end result how detailed and how intricate all of creation is, that it was formed and crafted, to use the language here, it was fashioned by an intelligent designer. But yet the evolutionist, the atheist, the big bangers would like to tell you the equivalent of what Aaron tried to pass off as the truth here. They want to tell you that everything just went into the fire, everything was thrown into one big pile, and then just somehow a molten calf came out. All the gold was thrown into the fire, and then somehow it fashioned itself into the form of this calf, but I don't know how it happened. Well, anybody with half a lick of common sense would not accept what Aaron was trying to peddle as the truth. I know for a fact that gold didn't form itself in the middle of that fire and just come out of calf. It's obvious that you did it. It's obvious that an intelligent being with intelligent design and foresight crafted this creation. But yet, these evolutionists and these people that believe in a Big Bang Theory want to tell you that just out of the middle of all this chaos, everything was just thrown into one big pot, and then just miraculously, out of nowhere, a carefully crafted end product came out, but it just happened totally by chance. I hope you can see how foolish that is, just as Aaron trying to present this before Moses was foolish. Those same people who would scoff at Christians who say that God created everything that we see here in this world in 6 24-hour days and rested on the seventh. As we know from Scripture in Genesis 1 and 2, that's exactly what happened. If you want to know where this world came from, read Genesis 1 and 2, in the beginning, God. And that solves the answer to your question. And those people that would scoff at the Christian's belief in the fact of a literal creation by an intelligent designer in 6 24-hour days, those are the same people that would look at a sculpture or a statue and say that is clearly the product of intelligent design. Think about famous sculptures such as King David that was sculpted by Michelangelo, The Thinker, even bigger projects such as the Statue of Liberty or the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Those same people that would scoff at the Christian for believing in the intelligent design of the world around us would look at the end product of the statue of King David by Michelangelo and say, wow, look at the skill and the design and the craftsmanship and the talent of artwork that Michelangelo had in crafting this amazing sculpture. If you came to them and you said this great statue, this great sculpture of David was not made by Michelangelo, actually it was created by just a bunch of clay put in a big pot and then just out of nowhere, this sculpture presented itself, just randomly. They would say, you dummy, this clearly has the distinctive marks of intelligent design, craftsmanship, and artwork. Because there's no way that a amazing creation such as this could happen by chance. It's clearly the product of intelligent design by a skilled artist. But yet they want to tell you in the creation of this world, which is so intricately more complex than any type of sculpture or statue that's ever been in this world, they want to tell you that that was created by a whole bunch of gold being thrown in a fire and all of a sudden, miraculously, a golden calf comes out the other end. You should be able to see that that doesn't make a lick of sense. And that's probably why the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit calls the person that says there is no God a fool. Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you, on one hand, want to attribute skilled craftsmanship and artwork to the hands of an intelligent designer and reject the fact that that could happen by chance, and you hold to that in a secular or a humanistic perspective, but in the idea of the divine, of the creation of this world, you reject that there's the possibility of a sovereign God with intelligent design that created everything that we see around us, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit calls that person a fool. Part of the reason that they don't have the ability to understand that is it takes faith. Even though that simple example and the disconnect between those two opinions is so apparent, part of the reason that they don't have that understanding is because they don't have faith that's given to the children of God in the new birth. Hebrews chapter 11 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So it's by faith, it's by that fruit of the Spirit, that product of the new birth and regeneration in our heart, that we have the capacity to look at this world around us and understand that something beyond what we see is the source and what created this. Again, the same people that would reject the intelligent design and creation of God, on the other end of the spectrum, if there was a supercomputer such as IBM's Watson that performs all of these tasks and makes decisions based on all of this criteria and creates an end result and tells various programs to perform other functions, and you see that exhibited, you would say, wow, that is a very impressive work of engineering and programming by the person who created that. They would attribute the success of that machine and of that system to the intelligent design of the computer programmer. But we think about the intelligent design that's all around us in creation, in the heavens, in the stars, the moon, all of the earth, but principally in our human bodies, the way in which all of our body works together perfectly. And whereas the evolutionary atheist would extol and praise the engineering of a computer programmer who created such an impressive computer to perform all these tasks, they would reject the intelligent design of God who created the greatest supercomputer there is, and that is the human brain that processes so many things at one time and sends out electrical impulses in just milliseconds all over our body to tell us what to do. God created the greatest supercomputer there ever is, but they want to reject the intelligent design of the human body and say that that just happened by chance. There's a sense in which it takes faith to believe that, but common sense should realize that it took intelligent design to create this world that's around us and our human bodies. People who try to peddle evolution or the Big Bang Theory try to pretend like it's some form of science, but yet at the same time, essentially, the basis of their theory is what Aaron tried to pass off on Moses. We threw everything in one pot, and then all of a sudden, all of this amazing craftsmanship came out the other end. And they try to peddle that as science. Well, I want to tell you, make sure that we understand that true science matches up with the Bible and affirms the biblical account. But in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, we're warned of oppositions of science falsely so-called. And that's what we have out in the world today. Because true science is observable, verifiable, and repeatable. That means when you reach a hypothesis and you give people the steps to reach that conclusion, then that means that anybody can go out and perform those tests and verify it for themselves, and that validates the authenticity of that scientific assertion. Well, the people that try to get you to believe in evolution and the Big Bang Theory, that is not science. Because it is not observable, it is not verifiable, and it is not repeatable. You cannot go out and affirm by science, by testing, by the scientific method, to observe that those theories are true, and to verify and repeat them on a consistent basis to verify the authenticity of those statements. That is not science. Those theories are just the false teaching of the devil himself, and oppositions of science falsely so-called. The fact of the matter is that this world, the heavens, the stars, the planets, the sun, the moon, everything about our earth, our individual bodies, the animals, the birds, all of that was created by God. It did not happen by random chance of things being thrown into one pot and then randomly coming out the other end as these intricate beings and planets and everything else that we see around us. They were created purposefully by intelligent design. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, for he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's what we find in Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we see all the other creations that he had in the 6 days of creation. God is the intelligent designer of all that we see around us. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." God stretched forth the heavens, he laid the foundation of the earth, and he formed the spirit of man within him. He gives to all life and breath and all things. Paul said in one of his sermons in Acts, "It's in him we live and move and have our being." In Job chapter 38, as God was essentially rebuking Job for his prideful demeanor that he had began to exhibit in the midst of this book, essentially God starts rebuking Job in Job 38 and verse 4, and he says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures of it if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning star sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." He's essentially saying, "Job, you're getting a little bit too big for your britches. Where were you at when I created this earth? Where were you at when I laid the foundations of the earth and I stretched out the heavens?" Psalms 102:25, "Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." Isaiah 40 and verse 12, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heavens with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." I think our earth is like 70% water. Think about all the waters on this earth. And he says God held those in the hollow of his hand and dispersed those onto the earth. He meted out the heavens with a span. That's the length between your thumb to your big finger as it stretched out. Maybe about 6 inches for most of us. And that's how God meted out the heavens, just with his hand. Think about how much dust, how much dirt is on this earth. And he says that God comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. He's able to exactly weigh and calculate not just the dust of the earth, but the mountains and the hills of this earth. You see, God is in perfect control of his creation. And just as that sculpture that was made by Michelangelo and others, how did one know that they were the craftsmen that made that sculpture? It's because they put their own signature on it, their own seal, that told everybody else that this is the work of my hands. I am the creator, I am the designer, and I am the artist that crafted this sculpture, and I want everyone else to see my signature on my work and give me the adequate acknowledgement and praise for the skill of the work of my hand. Well, in the same way, God put his seal and his signature on the world that he created. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language, or their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. To them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." You see, God's creation manifests, it declares, it sings out and preaches, so to say, the glory of its creator. It praises the intelligent design that went into the craftsmanship of the heavens and the earth and everything that we see around us. So the idea that Aaron tried to present to Moses, "Well, I just threw all this gold into the fire and then poof, out popped this golden calf." That's the lie that the majority of the world is trying to tell you about the creation of this world. But if we look at the world around us and we see the declaration of the heavens and the earth and all of creation, it declares one thing, and that is the praise and the glory of the intelligent designer, the creator of all the earth and all creation, and that is Jehovah God. Don't let science, falsely so-called, try to sell you a bill of goods and think that this world just randomly came out of nothing. You know better than that. Those of you that have faith in the new birth have the capacity to reject that knowledge. But we simply want to glorify God for the intelligent design that is exhibited in His creation, not to pretend that all of this happened by random chance. Again, if we ascribe worth and glory and praise to earthly artists because of the skill of their artwork, how much more so should we glorify God when we see all of the amazing craftsmanship in the world that He created by intelligent design? Our desire should be to praise and glorify Him because of the amazing creation that He has crafted and designed and manifested and fashioned by His own intelligent design. We're thankful to have you here with us this morning. We hope you can return with us in the weeks to come. Until that time, we pray God will richly bless you, and particularly in the study of His Word.